passionate perseverance. Will you say that phrase with me? Passionate perseverance. That has been our theme over this week, the Holy Week. Of course, today begins a new week, and that is, in fact, the theme of today's message. Newness, new life, new opportunity. Even where things seem to have been wrong and gone wrong and be too late, the message of Easter is nothing is so wrong that God can't make it right, and it's never too late for God. Amen? If you haven't been a part of the messages from last Palm Sunday and Good Friday, it's all right. You don't need to have heard them in order to relate to this theme. But for those who have, you'll recognize that this theme continues to be developed in our study of the life of Jesus as he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. We talked about that last week on Palm Sunday, that Jesus didn't just stumble into Jerusalem. He didn't just happen into Jerusalem. He didn't just happen to come to the cross. It wasn't by accident that Jesus died. In fact, he said himself, "No one takes my life from me." That's not to say that he wasn't arrested unjustly. It's not to say that he wasn't beaten and mocked unjustly. In fact, on Good Friday, we saw how hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, the scripture, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, describes Jesus as being a man of sorrows. It's rather like what Pastor Wilson was saying earlier. Jesus is one who can commiserate with us because he understands what it is to suffer. But Jesus knows something about suffering that none of us do. He knows what it is to suffer, though he does not have any reason to suffer. I don't mean to say that you've never had to suffer something that wasn't your fault. In fact, all of us could probably make the list of things that we've suffered. And some of us have perhaps a rather impressive list of things we've had to suffer in our lives that were no fault of ours, wrongs that were done to us, and so forth. And while Jesus can certainly relate to that, in fact, he is the supreme example of someone being wronged who only came to do right, there is nevertheless a difference. No matter how much you and I may have suffered through the faults of others, if we are honest with ourselves, we also have to recognize that we have not simply been wronged, but we have also done wrong. It's actually really important if we are going to experience the delight, the profound power of resurrection, the persevering power of Jesus' resurrection. It's essential for us to recognize that we have done wrong, that we have been wrong, that sometimes it has been us that has hurt somebody else, that sometimes it has been us that has hurt God. So when Jesus went to the cross with his face set like flint, again, a phrase out of Isaiah that means with determined, passionate perseverance. This is why it's known as the Passion of the Christ, because he did what he did out of love, by choice, and by the power of God. He went willingly to the cross like a lamb to the slaughter for you, for me. Because as we studied in Isaiah 53 on Friday, by his stripes, that is, the wounds on his back, born from the whipping, by the piercing of his hand and the shedding of his blood, by the giving of his life, you and I receive life, receive the opportunity for forgiveness and the reality of healing. The testimony of Jesus' life is that God is alive, that God saves, that God is able to reach and to find that which was lost and to save it. Jesus' very name means salvation. And so we come to the message this morning about a new day dawning and the persevering power of resurrection. Recognizing that if we are to fully appreciate the reality and the glory of Easter, we also must consider the reality and the curse of death. Six hours ago, I was in this room alone, praying, right here at the pulpit, reading the scriptures that were assigned for every hour. Do you know that in the 36 hours of passionate, perseverant prayer, we read from this pulpit out loud, sometimes just to ourselves and the Lord, and never with any diminishment. Can you attest to that? When even alone standing at this pulpit, and I know I'm not the only one that had this experience, simply reading out loud the words of the Lord, there was power in the room. There was passion in our hearts. There was someone else with us. Because God is alive. In 36 hours, we read aloud from this pulpit all four Gospels. Which, by the way, is also a certain awareness in that. You could read them too. Have you ever read all four Gospels from start to finish? Well, if you wanted to stay up 36 hours, you could do it in 36 hours. You might not want to stay up 36 hours. But certainly in a couple of weeks, you could get those 36 hours in, maybe in a month. Read all four Gospels and hear the words of Jesus. Let them roll over your ears. Let them fill your home. Let them fill your heart. The tales of what he did and what he said and where he went and why he did it. So there was passion and a sense of the presence of the Spirit. But I will say in those early morning hours when the dawn has not yet arrived, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it got cold in this room. It really wasn't a very cold night, and I had layers of clothing. But you know, that's the coldest time of day because the sun has been down long enough that even the stored up heat of the earth has often dissipated at that point. And you can feel the coldness in your bones. I had the lights dimmed in the sanctuary because I wanted to have a sense of intimacy with the Lord, of quiet, sober thinking about him, where he was in those hours on Easter morning before dawn, when his body was still in the tomb. I thought of the coldness of the tomb. Many of us might say we know something of the coldness of 3 a.m. and the darkness of that hour, but none of us have yet gone into the land darker yet, colder yet, the land of death. It was just a year ago, a few days before Easter, that I left my house in the middle of the night to where my father had been in hospice and he had died, April 12th of last year. And I remember seeing him laying there on his deathbed. And he looked so alive because often once someone has passed, they have the look of repose. They look as though they are sleeping. And especially in his later years, when he did sleep, he could be so still that sometimes you wondered. I remember a few times getting close, like, well, we don't know. He's at that point where it's coming. And there was more than one occasion when I saw him lying on a bed somewhere and I just gently listened, but there would be the sound of breath. Of course, that night, I already knew he was gone, but there's something so incomprehensible about death that you almost can't believe it. And I listened still for his breath, and it wasn't there. But when I touched him, the coldness. It's a cold that no living being has. You know, it's unpleasant to think of these things. But Easter is all about that cold. It's all about that darkness. It's all about death. Except that death isn't the end of the story, but it's part of the story. And if you erase death from the story, you don't get the story. The point of the story is not to ignore death or to deny death, but to defeat death. Amen. And death is a defeated foe. And even in that room with my father's body, I knew because of his faith and because of mine, but most of all, because of yours, Lord, I knew even though his body is asleep, he is alive in the Lord. What can we pay for such an assurance? What more could mean to us than that? And as I drove home that night a year ago back to my home, feeling already the rush of all those emotions that we work through when someone that we love dies, I heard his voice. It wasn't audible, but it might as well have been. It was so crystal clear in my mind, in my brain, not just his words, but distinctly his voice. In fact, his voice in a way I hadn't heard it in a few years because, as many of you know, he declined into a very severe dementia and it affected his speech. He wasn't even able to produce words in a natural fashion anymore. I heard his voice the way I remembered it. And what he said was, what I heard him say was, you just have to trust the Lord. Now, I don't know that I heard him because it's the kind of thing that I probably heard him say many times. Maybe it was the Lord calling my memory to that attention of the things that my dad had taught me. Maybe it was the Lord speaking to me, my Father in heaven, using the voice of my earthly father, not in some kind of mimicry, but in a way to make me intimately, deeply, and warmly aware that God is alive and that so is Dad. And that no matter what I face, no matter how dark the night, no matter how cold the moment, even unto the grave, there is hope in God. You've got to trust the Lord. Jesus on the cross, Jesus himself trusts the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? But into your hands I commit my spirit. Do you know that he's trusting not only that he will be resurrected, but that the Father will fulfill his will, that you and I will be resurrected. The point of Jesus' resurrection is that by his indestructible life, he makes available to you and I eternity, eternal life in him. And the way that you receive it is by believing it. It's not easy to believe, and especially in the dark times, in the deep, dark, cold of night, maybe even in the hours immediately before dawn, when you might be hoping most of all for that new light to shine, but it might seem farthest away. Be like the birds who, even in the dark, are already singing about the dawn that is coming. You go out at 4 or 5 in the morning before the sun is up, but the birds are there. And they're singing. You know why? Because they know. They know the sun is going to rise. Now, you and I know that the sun is going to rise, but today we celebrate that the sun shall rise, that the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And you've got to trust the Lord. And as I thought about it this year, as I thought about this anniversary, as I thought about this message, I heard the voice of my Father again saying, you just have to trust the Lord. And I thought, Father God, how do I share that? Because I don't want to make some claim. I don't know what God might have allowed me to hear. And I believe that all things are possible for God. But I'm not making some claim of having some kind of communion with the dead. I'm not describing that. But there was for me an assurance in that. What was that that I heard, Lord? And all of a sudden, there was such clarity for me. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, that was the testimony of your father's life. The sum total of his life became for me a message that lives beyond his earthly life. And the message is, trust the Lord. Now, I want to ask you, my friends, and I want to ask you sincerely, and I want to ask you penetratingly, what is the testimony of your life? When people think of what you said, of what you did, of who you are, when you are gone, because we all will be gone, what will they hear in your voice, in their ears? What will they know? What will they have learned from your life? I pray that the testimony of my life would be that Jesus is alive and that God is trustworthy. But I also pray that there would be an Easter message through my life to people all around me all the time that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That it is not just a story, not a fable, not a fantasy, not purely a hope untethered to reality, but a real, fixed, and actual fact. In fact, not just one of many facts, not just a piece of data, datum, I think they say, right? Not just an isolated thing, but a foundational thing. Christ's resurrection is, in fact, the power on which all other creation stands. And anything that is not standing upon his resurrection is bound to fall. But the persevering power of the resurrection, it will not fall, because Christ, who died once, now lives forevermore, and he makes intercession for you and I. Friends, it's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life. I was preparing this message on the basis of certain scriptures, and I found that it's really impossible to look in detail at the resurrection story and not have it so very closely bound to two things, actually three. One is the dawning of a new day, which begins a new week. It's a whole new era, as it were. The other is that it is the season of spring. It happens in a garden. It is as though the Lord says, look, in the cycle of the earth, in its spinning around the sun, every year, I remind you that resurrection comes. I remind you that after the winter, there is spring, that after the night, there is dawn, that after death, there is new life. I said there was a third thing. It happens at Passover. It happens at the very appointed time in which God had said to his people, remember how I delivered you out of enslavement in Egypt? Remember how I called you my own people, and make this sacrifice so that the covering of your sin can be extended with forgiveness and grace. The blood of the Lamb is the blood of the Christ. It's a new dawn, and this new life changes everything. As I thought about that phrase, a new dawn, a new day, a new life, I thought, where do I know this from? I know this. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life. And what? And I'm feeling good. You remember that song? All right, now I got to have you groove here a little bit. I want to play you that song. It's from a musical. You didn't think you were getting this on Easter morning, did you? It's called Feeling Good by Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricus. It's from a musical called The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crown, but it's become a jazz standard. And I really deliberated, but I thought, you know, I just love this song. I want you to look at the lyrics. I want you to hear it. I'm going to let Michael Bublé do the honors because he's better than I am. And I'm going to put it in my little speaker here. It's probably going to give us problems with the YouTube recording. Oh, well. Gosh, we can't let YouTube dictate everything in our lives, can we? I mean, they got to do what they got to do, but we got to be who we're going to be. So I want to play this song for you. And if you feel a little bit of groove in you, I'm going to ask you to move into it. Hey, there's a lot of Filipinos in the room. Just think of this as Easter karaoke, all right? Because this is a joyous day. I want to remind you that it's a celebration. This is a party. Jesus is alive. Let the light of that truth shine on every other darkness. I'm not saying there aren't shadows and shade in your life, but make sure that the light of the Lord is shining. Let it be to you a song about Jesus. It is so incredibly descriptive of what Easter morning is like. It's a paean to spring, and it is a jubilant expression of the joy of life. So here we go. Michael Bublé, singing on command.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel.
Yeah. Sun in the sky. Come on, sing it.
You know how I feel.
Breeze drifting on by.
You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life
for you and for me. And you know what?
And I'm feeling good.
Come on now. Let him get into you. Feel good. He's alive. Don't be dour. Don't be sad. Don't be depressed. There's joy.
Fish in the sea. You know how I feel. River running free. You know how I feel. Blossom on the tree. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Sing it. It's a new life for you. Let Jesus fill you with joy.
Dragonfly.
This whole world is a beautiful expression of what God makes, of who He is. There's beauty in the world. There's beauty in the trees, in the birds and the bees. There's beauty in the sun. And yes, sleep in peace when the day is done.
And this old world
is a new world and a bold world for me. The boldness of the Lord is in His resurrection. Now, come on now. There's a key change coming up. You can go higher, you can go lower, but you can't stay where you are. Let me hear you now. Ooh, yeah. I want some joy in this place. The Lord is alive today. Feel it. Know it. Believe it. Woo! Stars, when you shine, you know how I feel. Will you sing it? Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. We thank you that life is in you, and not just old life, but new life, life that overcomes, life that supersedes, life that breaks out of the tomb. Lord, fill us with joy today. Let us feel and know the glory of your joy. Let us feel and know the reality of your life. Let us put our trust in you. Amen. Now, I want to ask you something. First of all, do you feel good? Good. I want you to feel good. I want you to be inspired. But you know, when you listen to that song, as it plays out, it gets kind of jazzy funky at the end. It sort of fades into this place where you can almost sense in that wonderful arrangement, there's that feeling that always comes when you're feeling good, which is, but how long will it last? Because the spring, it turns into blistering summer, and then the fall, and then winter again. You know, the older we get and the more people we love that die and the more that we see of death and darkness, the harder it can be sometimes to believe that feeling good can last. And actually, if all of our feeling good is only about trying to feel good rather than to be good, to know good, then it's no wonder that we begin to doubt it. Because feeling good is a feeling and it doesn't always last. But God, God is good. Amen. And He is always there. That's the power you see of resurrection, is that God met death and went down into it and defeated it. Because life is stronger than death. Light is brighter than the dark. And so I want to, in the concluding moments of this message, just take you to the actual biblical scriptures. Yeah, I'm not just playing Michael Bublé for you this morning. I want you to hear from the scripture, because I like Michael Bublé and I like that song, but I love the Lord. And the thing that will really anchor us in the joy of the Lord is the word of the Lord. To have the word in our hearts is to have the life of Jesus in our lives. At the very beginning of Jesus' story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, in fact, before it even describes the birth of Jesus, it describes the birth of one who came before him, one who came as a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, one whose entire ministry was really asking people, what is the testimony of your life? And telling them, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And in order to feel good, you've got to know good. You've got to be good. And only God is good. And only God can make you good. And God does that through the shining of his bright light, the dayspring from on high that shines greater and brighter than any darkness of death. At the end of the gospel, this time Matthew 28, we mention what I described earlier, which is a new day, first day of the week, and the women arriving at the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus in a fashion that they had not had opportunity to before, because at his death, it was a feast time, and they were not allowed to linger. And so they had come back after the feast of Passover in order to properly prepare his remains, but his remains didn't remain because he had risen. And when they realized that, there was great joy, but there was also fear. And before we conclude today, I want to say something about that. Fear and great joy, indestructible life and eternal life, as described in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Let's look at these quickly. Luke chapter 1. Here, this is the song of Zechariah, the father of the man who would become John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus. It's known in its Latin tradition as the Benedictus, because it begins with that term in Latin. It is a blessing to the Lord. It's Zechariah praising God because even though he and his wife were elderly and had never been able to have children, this child had been given to them just as the angel Gabriel had said. And this child was described as one who would be a prophet of the Messiah. And so by the Spirit of the Lord, when John was born and being dedicated, his father spoke and said, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the dayspring, that is the dawn's rising light, will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. I'm going to ask you to do three little prayers with me as we conclude these points of this message. And the first one is now. I asked, what is the testimony of your life? Now I want to ask you this. What is the trauma of your life? What is the place where the shadow of death, however it might manifest, whether it's the loss of someone you loved or the loss of a dearly held dream or the loss of an opportunity, or maybe just the loss of time and feeling like it's too late. Or maybe you're young and can't relate to that notion. You do feel as though you've lost peace, or you don't have peace, or you don't know what to do or where to go. Or there's a choice before you, and the terms of that choice are so significant, so much is in the balance of it, that you carry a burden about it. What is the thing that weighs you down? And is there anywhere in your life something that God himself would say, I want to resurrect that? That even though it's been covered in the shadow of death, in fact, maybe it's even been covered by the grave, so to speak. Maybe it's something that you think is dead and buried. But if it's really of the Lord, and you would know that, or at the very least, you could ask him, that the Lord says, it's not too late. Maybe it's something that you have simply learned to live with. But the Lord says to you, I want to deliver you from it. because your living with it is really a dying from it. And I want you instead to overcome it in the persevering power of my resurrection. When the ladies went to the tomb, they were discussing on the way, how are we going to roll the stone back? Because as you probably know, in ancient times, many of these tombs were often carved out of a rock wall. And the way that they would be sealed is with a heavy stone that not one person or two could close. In fact, two strong men might not be able to close it just on their own. It might take several strong men. And so these women were coming and thinking, we don't even know how we're going to get into the tomb. We're probably going to have to appeal to the Roman soldiers that are guarding it. But you know what? When they got to the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. Jesus has the power to roll stones away in your life. So where is the stone that he wants to roll? Let Jesus do a little rock and roll in your life. Lord, right now we lift up to you those things in our private place of prayer that we know we struggle with. Maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a depression, maybe it's a confusion, maybe it's a place of despair about a relationship or a work opportunity. Whatever the issue is, even a chronic condition of illness or a family member whose path is really distressing us, you know our need, Lord. Wherever the power of death is at work in our life, maybe even especially if it's in our thinking, roll back the stone, Jesus. And let your resurrection light shine in that darkness. Believe that the Lord hears your prayer and walk into the pathway of peace, feeling good, knowing that God will deliver you as a new day dawns. Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, by the way, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at Jesus' tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Don't you like that? What a way to say, look, this is no problem. No problem for God. That which was such a hindrance, it has just become a convenience, a place for me to sit and wait for you to arrive at the recognition that God has rolled away the problem. This angel's appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. How might you feel if you saw such a thing? Imagine if you went to visit a loved one at their grave today and you found the grave wide open and a guy in gleaming, brilliant white garments sitting on top of it. I think you might be a bit distressed. I know I would be. It's alarming. It's confusing. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid," which presupposes that they were, and understandably so. "I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." Amen. You know what's really, really wonderful about this? When we read through all four Gospels, it was amazing to me how often he said it. Over and over again. I found because I came in for certain durations and then I would be out. I was doing work or I took a nap and I'd come back. And when I came back 8 hours later, I was in the other Gospel, but I was reading the same passage because there's so much overlap. I wondered, okay, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. Sometimes what I found is, oh, he's saying it again. He's saying, I'm going to go, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to die, and this is what is written, and this is what must happen, but then I will rise again. And over again, their response is, shut up, don't say that, that's not good. What are you talking about? We don't understand. Or we're not going to ask him because we just don't get it. And you know what? He still does it. We're going to start a series next week on 2 Timothy. And there's a wonderful passage in there, a trustworthy saying and true, as Paul says to Timothy, in which we are reminded, even if we are faithless, God remains faithful. You know, whether you believe his word or not, God is going to do it. God is going to do it. But it's better that you and I should believe. But I'm also grateful to know that even when I doubt, God still comes through. That's not to say that doubt doesn't have an impact. In fact, doubt is often a part of that darkness, that kind of little death that can happen in our heart and in our hope. It's important that you and I bring that doubt to the resurrection power of Jesus so that he can roll that doubt away in the same way that that stone was rolled away. Come and see the place where he lay. That is what the angel says to the ladies. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, they are immediately enlisted in being ministers, witnesses. They have heard the truth, they believe the truth, and they're going to go and share it. Guess what? They're not going to be believed. And it may be that when you really have the joy of the Lord in you and you have the assurance of the resurrection of Christ in you, there may be those around you, even those who are your friends and family, who can't quite believe what you believe. Don't be discouraged by that. Don't blame them for it. But don't stop sharing the good news. Because ultimately, those ladies were proved right. And look, God said, don't worry, I got your back. You're in the scriptures. The 11 didn't believe right away, but the women believed. And so they became the first missionaries of Jesus' resurrection. And you and I were called to be the same, to live a life in which we say, now that Christ has died for me, I am willing to die for Christ. Not just in the sense of a traditional martyr, although none of us should be immune to the reality that if we are truly willing to live for Christ, it means our lives belong to him. But that's exactly the point, isn't it? That in everything of our life, we are meant to give ourselves over to him. Paul said, now it's not I who live, it's Christ resurrected in me, so that I might know in my sufferings his, so that in my tomb, when I lie in that grave, his resurrection will resurrect me too. And again, that's not just a symbol. It's not just a fable. And even though it's impossible for people, all things are possible for God. And God will do what he has said. In the book of Hebrews, there's a description of Jesus as a priest like Melchizedek. I'm not going to go into the detail of that, although if you studied the book of Hebrews with me in PSOM, you know something about it. But Melchizedek, suffice it to say, is a rather mysterious figure, a priest in the Old Testament, without origin. He appears without a beginning or end. He has no genealogy given, and he receives a tithe from Abraham prior to the Mosaic law. All of this indicates that this is Christ. A pre-incarnate Christophany, an appearance of the eternal Christ prior to the incarnation, and he is operating already on the basis of his eternal priesthood. Even the Psalms in the Old Testament say, you are a priest forever. You have become a priest not on the basis of a regulation, not on the basis of ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life, of the goodness of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. And a better hope is introduced in this ministry of Jesus to us. It is the hope to draw near to God. Here's the second prayer I want you to pray. What is the thing that is holding you back from God? What is the boundary or barrier, maybe also like a stone, that maybe also needs to be rolled away, that is keeping you from God? Because, my friend, may I say to you, whatever keeps you from God keeps you from feeling good. And I don't mean the trivial kind of good that the world worships. I mean the goodness of God. It doesn't get any gooder than that. I know gooder's not a word, but it deserves a non-word. It's so good it needs a word that can't be given to anything else. It's God. Know God. And experience his peace. Know his assurance. Have his guidance. Feel his blessing. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will not fear any evil because the Lord is with you. Amen. What is the thing that's keeping you from him? Bring it to him right now. Lord, we ask that you would crucify that thing in our lives. Whether it's a pattern of thinking or a way of believing or a pattern of talking or acting, maybe it is a tendency, maybe it is an addiction, maybe it is a persuasion, maybe it's a confusion, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a pattern, whatever it is, and there may be more than one. Lord, identify those things that are like stones in the garden of our heart, remove them, that are like stones in the garden of the grave, roll them back, put to death that which is of the flesh, and bring to life in us that which is of your Spirit. Now, there is one who agrees with you in this prayer. I do, but my agreement is nothing compared to his. And he is a priest forever like Melchizedek. He is a prince of peace and a priest of peace. And Jesus is the guarantor of a better covenant. Jesus is the one who says, for you, I can and will and do make it a new dawn, a new day, a new life. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has been rolled away and the new has come, and I'm feeling good because God is alive in me. The author of Hebrews says there were many high priests in the Levitical tradition, but you know what? They all died. Jesus also died, but Jesus rose again. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely, that is, forever. Amen. Those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Here's the last of these prayers. It's a prayer to come to Christ. Wherever you're at in your life today, whether you've known the Lord many years and walked with him faithfully in those times, and none of us have walked in perfect faithfulness, we all know that, but some of us have strived to try to hear and to obey as best we could by the grace and gift of the Spirit, but many of us have also known what it is to walk away from the Lord, to turn away from the Lord, or maybe even to be pulled away from the Lord. Not that anything can pull you away except that you allow it, but sometimes you and I allow it. And there may be some within the sound of my voice who have never really known. Is it really reasonable to believe that God is out there? And if he is he really identified as Christ? And if that's the case, could it really be that this Christ, born of a virgin, died and rose again? And I say unto you, whether you believe it or not, it is true. But if you believe it, it's more than just belief. Faith enters in. And faith is resurrection. It's life. Lord, we come to you today, ever dependent upon your resurrection power. This Easter, we give ourselves to you, that you who are Lord of all would be Lord of our life, that you who conquered your grave would conquer ours as well, that you who ascended from the grave with resurrection life would resurrect us, and that even now we would live in the joy, in the power, and the truth of the forgiveness of sin that is granted by your blood, the fullness of spirit that comes by your spirit, and the newness of life that is the will of the Father, the work of the Son, and the assurance of the Spirit. Amen. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. Go out into the world and enjoy the beauty of the world and experience the fullness of the living Lord. And may you be blessed and graced in him. Amen. Hallelujah. If that's the first time that you ever prayed to the Lord with a confession that Jesus is your Savior, we'd like to agree with you in that. If you're in the Los Angeles area, you could contact us and get connected. You cannot grow in the things of the Lord alone. When Christ came out of the tomb, he also came out to a body. He came out to a community. He came out to make a new family of God. And so we are part of that family. We're going to celebrate that in just a few minutes. In fact, as we conclude and I make the benediction, I'm also making a blessing because we're going to eat because it's a new dawn, a new day, and a new feast. And rice is life, and we're going to experience it. There's going to be resurrection rice available on the patio. We want you to be part of the family of Christ. If you're here in the area, we'd love to have you be a part of PCF, but it may be that you're in a different area or that the Lord has called you to a different congregation. There are so many places where the body of Christ is expressed with fidelity and faithfulness and good preaching and fullness of the Spirit all over the world. Find a place to connect with the body of Christ, because that body is resurrected, and it is in that body and from that Christ that you will receive the power to persevere with joy. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this service. I thank you for this family, this flock, these people, our guests. And we thank you, Lord, that you, even now, would bless that food which is prepared for us and the hands which have prepared it. You would bless our time of fellowship. You would bless this day of joy, and that you would bless us, Lord, to continue to walk in the light of the new dawn, of the new day, of the new life, of the risen Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. We love you, Lord. Amen.